Welcome to the Caldivian, you cocksucking motherfucking dog shit ass cunt bitch.
Welcome to enos.podbean.com. Welcome all new listeners. There's been a group of people in Florida. I don't know. My mother just moved to Florida and I was like, is it her? And I did the math and I was like, it can't be her. Who the fuck is listening to me in Florida? Out there in Gator Country. Bless your heart. Shout out to Michael Perkinson. I believe he's a Florida comic. Know him from the Kill Tony days. Tonight's an exciting episode. This is the Jim Norton episode. For those of you that don't know, I am Ian Ellis of the Ian Ellis LLC. And we frequent shows such as Unbleached and Saiyans Entertainment. formerly Jimmer Nam. As a way for us to produce our show with apologies, because our former host, Nick Guay, who I love and miss desperately, who I desperately want to come back to us, Nick, just come back, you know, come on, man, just have some confidence and come back, you're better than Opie. Nick Guay became a Proud Boy, then had a mental breakdown, quit the show, and stopped talking to us, which sucks, because he was funny, and he's hard to replace. But me and the CEO, after years of absence, have come back. And with apologies, it's just any episode of any show that happens to feature the both of us, which is predominantly Saiyans Entertainment. Go find it on YouTube. And join the Patreon, because YouTube ain't monetizing anymore. Just give $1 a month, $3, whatever you got. You know, he's trying to get $400 a month. That's not much. That's less than a day job. You know what I'm saying? Saiyans Entertainment covers a lot of Opie and Anthony news, clips. Very good at what they do. And then they do a drunk live stream. Now he sometimes talks about Jim and Sam. And so me and other members of the Saiyans army that happen to be awake early in the morning. I'm awake because I have children. This is not a choice. Can't ignore them. Can't just leave them there to starve. Get my ass up at 7 in the morning. Even if I don't have shit to do, gotta get the fuck up. Don't have kids unless you're ready, man. But if you're up that early, you can catch the Jim and Sam show. And we've been interacting with them lately. They are the newest members of the Ian Ellis LLC. Clap it up. It's a good job. Jim Norton now works for me. It's official. Jim Norton is a member of the Ian Ellis LLC. That was confirmed today when I called to wish Jim a happy birthday as Jordan Peterson. And at the end of the call, he said, thank you, Ian. So he officially is a watcher of Saiyans Entertainment. He's a shouter-outer of Saiyans Entertainment. And anything that's promoting him is promoting me. And I'm glad that he's joined the establishment. I'm proud of him as a member of the organization. Now, if you listened to the last episode of With Apologies, you're going to hear a clip that you're also going to hear again tonight, which is me confronting Jim about possibly stealing Chip Chipperson from the Jerky Boys. I don't think he's stealing, like, I took that shit. It's more of a, it was an influence. And he's, like, very stubborn about the fact that he's like, I do not want it to be an influence. This is original. This is me, goddammit. I don't steal anything. Which is pretty much undeniable. You know, he says he listened to the Jerky Boys. The character sounds just like him. You're gonna hear the clip. He kept saying, listen to the whole clip. And when I listened to the whole clip, it was more damning than when I had just heard the short version. Because I think he says fucking shit just like the character as well. And you will hear that on the show tonight. In the last episode, you hear Saiyans, a.k.a. or wink wink, Saiyans, definitely not me, call into the show and confront Jim and Sam about doing Borat a commercial as content, which I think is a very dirty thing to do when people are paying for a subscription. It's already suspect that you have commercials, but you know, it's better than not taking bathroom breaks, I guess. I heard that about wrestling in the UFC today. They wear black pants because they don't get bathroom breaks. And these are like 3 to 6 hour shows, and they frequently shit themselves. As Joe Rogan just said, he frequently pisses and shit himself. He might mean while he's hosting the UFC show. That's why he's wearing his little black pants. He's got a fresh duke right there in the back of that ass. You stink, Joe. Smell like power bars and energy coffee. Whatever the fuck it is. So things I learned about Jim and Sam. Sam Roberts, I developed a new respect for. I'd only ever heard him in small clips, and I was like, oh, he's the fucking... this last surviving member. Jim and Sam was like the aftermath to ONA's NWA. And I didn't have a lot of respect for Sam going in, but after listening to like 6 to 8 hours of this show while waiting on hold mostly, Sam is great at keeping the flow going and getting jokes in. He's a hell of a lot better than I give him credit for, and he's super dope. Jim Norton, one of the funniest people on radio of all time, ever of all time. Not that great at stand-up. But Third Mike, he's amazing, and it sucks that he's the host of the show. Like, I love him, I know he's experienced, at this point he should be the host, but it's like, he works best when he has someone to play off of. I love the Chip Chip Is In podcast, because Anthony frequently comes on there, and there's no better chemistry than fucking Anthony and Jim. Even though we're coming after you, Jim, I still like you. The CEO, he hates all comedians, but I still like comedy, and I like you, man. I just want you to be like, yeah, man, it was an influence. Fucking, I didn't mean it to be. I didn't know it was, but I acknowledge that it probably was. And now you're doing your own thing. Now it's evolved to its own thing, and you hope people will forgive you. That's what I was hoping for. That's not what we got. That's what I was hoping for. Because it's undeniable, man. The next clip you hear after my call-ins to Jim and Sam is an old clip of Opie and Anthony where Jim Norton says that Saturday Night Live may have stolen a character named Tippy from Chip Chipperson. And the relation from Chip to Tip Tipperson is less than the relation of fucking Chip to this old Jerky Boys clip. Scandalous. So scandalous. Somebody said that Chip is basically the Jerky Boys meets Opie. Which the conspiracy was always that Chip is Opie and that Uncle Paul is Anthony. Because he's a pedo that fucks kids. He's Pizzagate and a vampire. He's a terrible person. I still think he's super funny, but I'm the only one that's like, I only care if they're funny. I don't care about anything. Oh, are they criminals? Good. I didn't get into comedy because I wanted to hang out with a bunch of good guys. A bunch of fucking Christians. A bunch of real good pals. A bunch of proud boys. It's not what I'm looking for. I'm looking for degenerates. Joke I thought about doing this week. I don't even know if I should say this on the podcast. It's toying with this premise a little bit of like, if you're offended by words, that means you're letting words hurt you more than evil. Like, you could be not affected by it, affected by it exactly as much as it happens, as often as someone actually is racist, which is the amount that is evil, or you could be affected by it more than evil. You could be hurt just because it happens. That's a terrible way to live your life. Like, you can't just go around being hurt all, letting other people have that much power over your life. And Mike David on Red Bar was talking about like a time when he was hanging out with so many comedians that like he just kind of thought the culture had gotten past like the N-word and faggot. And even now I'm censoring myself. I said I was going to stop using the N-word because like I got a lot of black friends and some of them were like, yeah, man, if a white dude goes up and says it doesn't matter the context, fucks up my night and it hurts me. I'm like, I don't want to fuck up anybody's night, but it's, I think it's just dumb. You know? I think you're giving this word too much power, but good guy, I'll stop doing it. here's what Mike's story reminded me of. One of the hardest times I've ever laughed. It's an actor studio question. What's the hardest you've ever laughed? Ha, pa, 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 pa. I was hanging out with my buddy Mark, and we were watching TV, and there was some commercial for some just asinine thing that was like, improve your golf swing, and I was like, go to our website, improveatgolfswing.gov. And I was like, .gov? What the fuck does that have to do with the government? Can you just buy those websites? Is that a thing? You could just get those? There's no screening process at all. And so we just spent what feels like an hour trying to top one another with, what's the worst website you could get? .gov. I'm comedian Ian Ellis. Don't forget to come to my website, niggerfaggotaids.gov. Guys, this is our benefit to help kids with cancer. And don't forget to come to our website, thejewsfaketheholocaust.kike.cumdumpster.gov. We just went on and on like that. Charities for puppies, anything you might care about. The worst thing you've ever heard of, .gov. And this is about the hardest I ever laughed. I was in tears. And I love those times. So I thought of this joke when I was high the other day. And I was like, I can't do this because it's too much N-word. It doesn't mean that much to me. I'm like, I don't have to do this joke. And it was like, blah, blah, blah. Being affected by something is like being hurt more than by evil. I got a solution for some of these words. Like, I think I have a solution for the M-words. Anybody can say it anytime they want. But if you're a black person and you catch a white person saying it and it's actually racist, you get to murder that white person. That's a new rule. It's a racial purge. We want to be humane, so we are going to be handing out weapons. AK-47s, assault rifles. I think if that did happen, they'd probably start referring to white people as N-word lovers, or just the N-word for short. A lot of niggas died in the South yesterday. Since this new racial post, a lot of niggas died in the South. Texas, Alabama, Kentucky, most of Florida's retirement community. Shockingly, numbers continue to rise on the East and West Coast. Turns out there's a lot of dirty niggas in Hollywood. In this joke, niggas refers to white people that were murdered for using the N-word. I thought about changing it to wiggers. I was like, maybe I get away with that. And I was like, why am I trying to get away with it? It's not that. I don't have to do this bit. It's not going to kill me. But I thought it was funny, so I get to share it with you. And hopefully you guys don't me too me or pronoun me or whatever the fucking dumb protest you do. So coming up, you got some jokes. This is a tough room tonight. Kate, my arch nemesis. If you listen to the With Apologies episodes, the girl that cusses me out, that's Kate. She's from the Dying of Fire sagas, Dying of Fire Part 1 and 2. And then I named my album after the controversy. So Jim Norton, if you're listening, go listen to my album, Dying of Fire. It's on YouTube or Dep Piff or my podcast. You can pretty much find it anywhere. Give me a shout out, goddammit. And then you hear the call where I confront Norton about possibly stealing Chip. And then you hear Jim Norton talking about fucking ONA and SNL stealing Chip as Tippa. The clip of Jim and Sam, I left it a little bit long because if you're a fan of me, you're probably a fan of Tough Crowd. So I left in part where Jim Norton talks about the Tough Crowd reunion that just happened. It's not that exciting without fucking Greg and Patrice, but it would still be, I'd still be excited. I would hope Anthony would be there. You need evil. You need the devil to show up sometimes. That's the level of mischief you bastards need to be up to. Who's gonna save it? Boss? Boss ain't gonna do shit except take off his shirt. It's gonna take 15 minutes for Colin to stumble through the first joke. I love Colin Quinn, but I tease him. That was part of, like, I tried to make myself the comic that I thought these guys were, and I thought they all just, like, broke balls, and we're still friends. We're still cool. It's like, you just say whatever you want. It's just, you're on the side of funny. And then it turns out Bill Burr was like, yeah, it was a toxic environment, and sometimes I'd walk out, and I'd be like, did we go too far? And everybody's sensitive, and I was like, I need you to have the courage to not be sensitive so I can have the courage to not be sensitive, goddammit. Thank God Chappelle stood up. Which brings me to the next reason this clip runs long. It's damn near an hour long, which I shouldn't clip that much of somebody else's show. But consider this a commercial for Jim and Sam. A reason to subscribe to SiriusXM. Jim talks about his review of Nanette. the controversial thing about the giant lesbian kangaroo who hates men for reasons because she was raped and beat up a lot. I'm not condoning that. Another joke I was thinking of this week is like, you ever think like if the apocalypse happens, I'm like pretty much built for rape. Like if this all goes away, like you're equal, but if this goes away, I could take that pussy if I want it. I'm just saying, like, we're civilized, but we are animals. This is a terrible joke. To trigger rape victims for no goddamn reason. But I leave in Jim Norton talking about comedy and kind of saying like he's fed up with all the politics and stuff, and I really appreciate it. I know a lot of new comics listen to my show and comics that steal my material. Shout outs. But I appreciate it. I love it when Jimmy talks about comedy. He really understands comedy. He's part of it. He's part of the fabric of it. Like, I really love and admire fucking Norton, and I don't want him to fail. Get it together. Get your story together. You can handle this. Why are you depressed? Let's talk about it. But anyway, yeah, so enjoy the comedy. It was a tough room. Everybody bombed, even Tim Brennan. Tim Brennan's one of my favorite comedians. Not liking him is like not liking Brian Regan. Like, well, you just didn't come to have a good time. I've never seen him not... Those are jokes. Those are jokes, and if you're not laughing, then fucking... I don't know what to do for you. That's it. So it was one of those nights. Even Tim had a hard night. But I feel like I yelled my jokes clear enough that you guys will be able to understand them. So get excited, because it's the Jim Norton Show. And go listen to last episode without apologies. All right. Peace.
Who were you dating, Buffalo Bill? Put the lotion on the skin. Oh my God. All right, everybody, give a huge round of applause for Ian Ellis.
Thank you, man. One more round of applause. I've been here before, Dan. What's your name? Can I buy you a drink?
It's not like her dad shot a bathtub full of gas. That ain't that bad. Big round of applause for our host, Moana. His mother's a small white lady, and his father stole the heart of the ocean.
Yeah.
Kind of scared of Russia? Better dead than red? Is that how you're living your life? If it's not, you're not watching enough news. People are fucking scared of Russia. Did they fix the election? The fact that Putin can say no and not start laughing tells me he probably didn't do it. If I tricked you into having Trump as president, I'd be like, yeah. What are you gonna do? That's Russia. People are worried about Russia. They're fucking broke. They're pretty much the welfare queens of Europe. The only reason they have an economy is because we buy oil from them. The second we stop buying oil, Putin's gonna be on Pornhub blowing dudes for loose squares. See that picture of Putin with his shirt off? Somebody offered him $20 to do it as a bet. Well, we are broke.
What else?
You think that many Russian women love porn? It's the closest they come to a hot meal. It's fucking broke. A round of applause. How many of you would be okay with me telling a sexually explicit story? It's about the dirtiest thing I ever did. The story's about my ex-wife. This cunt. This woman who went on to marry a senator with a bigger dick than me.
And
this
what
bitch,
else?
Working in the White House, helping underprivileged kids. I'm not better. So we're laying in bed, and I was like, I want to get my dick wet. So I look at her, and I'm like, huh? Huh? And she goes, no. We're not fucking. And my wife had vaginisms. You know what that is? It means foreplay is not an option. It's like Ocean's 11 trying to get some pussy. She wasn't in the mood, you weren't getting in. It's like trying to stick a half dollar in a nickel slot. So I was like, I better get to work kissing those toes, kissing and sucking. kissing. Robin is looking at a book and she lowers it and she's like, this is not happening. So listen here, sweetheart, you got options. Either you're going to get in the mood with me or I'm going to fuck you in the kneecap.
I love you, Smash, but you can't do
this. She lowered her book and she said, you do what you got to do. So I lotioned up that kneecap and I folded it around my meaty erection. And I humped it until I blew a load on the wall.
Hey, Mike.
You think you can't get off? I shot a load so hard it scared the dog.
Here,
so my current wife, I'm a father. Can't get that better for that. Cheers. I like round of applause. The other day he crawled out the bed and smacked his head. I was like, I slept with my parents till I was five. That's probably why I'm not good at math. It's probably hereditary that he keeps trying to kill himself. Hey, 47 expensive chew toys, but he keeps trying to eat old pennies.
Oh yeah.
The kids really need parents because otherwise they just kill themselves. It doesn't stop at 11. This shit goes on till they're like 35.
Monday night, she just couldn't understand.
I'm all out of jokes. All right, guys, my name's Ian Ellis. I love you, good night.
I'm so sorry.
I see. By the way, the Tough Crowd video I put up last night, at probably 10 p.m., and it's got 30,000 views already on Twitter, so people really do want to see the show again. We're fucking Colin and Vault. We are dumb if we don't figure out a way to at least do a few live shows and test the waters.
Just do a Tough Crowd podcast. I mean, if you can get away with using the term Tough Crowd, Colin hosting a podcast with I know it's like kind of the thing that's done, but if you can format it the way Tough Crowd was formatted.
You know,
I think a Tough Crowd podcast would really, really
some
work.
Some networks, or maybe some, you know, some streaming thing. There's so much out there. Why can't you just put it around?
A podcast wouldn't, it was a great idea, but I think it would do better on video just because, you said, so many shows are doing that kind of podcast, like Bobby's, wherever there's a bunch of guys talking.
Yeah, it would have to be it would have to be very produced.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
It
would have to be like a very produced. It had to be a podcast that was produced like a TV show in the sense that there were segments and sounders and intros and blah blah blah.
Part of what felt good about Tough Crowd was the fact that mistakes are made, with the fact that it wasn't smooth and pretty, and Colin was not a perfect host. He was he would trip on words, or we would bomb on jokes, and Colin would make them leave the bombs in there. But that's a part of what made the show work,
dude. When he would give up on a joke in the middle of the song. Well, he would just be like, I knew that one wouldn't work. We can't even finish it.
Yeah. It would work better now than it did then because it's cheap to produce and you could divide up those into clips. I can't believe
politics is why it would be tough.
But the politics is kind of why some people would love it. It would be love or hate.
Some people would love it, but networks are even less likely now to take anything that's not kind of liberal politically.
Yeah, but YouTube might take it.
YouTube.
HBO wouldn't touch it.
Really?
No. And neither will Comedy Central. Netflix, I don't even know if they would touch it.
Maybe Hulu.
Hulu might, but it would have to be one of those things where we were, within reason, allowed to say what we wanted to say, because some people were always annoyed by the show.
Yeah, but anyone who's really going to invest in it is going to get that's part of the show, don't you think, at this point?
I don't know, man.
Also, you have a lot of people, different people, telling different views. It's not
that never mattered.
Conservative. Yeah,
we got a lot of shit even back then.
They don't they like everybody telling the same point of view. You know, from the same, like when you watch The Daily Show, it's not like you have this wide variety of opinions, right?
Right. Every late night show has the exact same take on everything. Maybe different personalities and different jokes, right? But how is everyone on late night television 100% on the same side of the fence? It's embarrassing
because they watched it work for one guy. They were like, oh my God, how did Colbert become like last place to first place? And now everybody's kind of following suit. This is what we do.
It would be so great to do this. It made me really pumped up to do it again. I had no idea what was happening and we went out. And again, it was just an hour. It was Colin backstage. We literally all of us literally wanted to cry backstage because it was just weird to have done that with the Tough Crowd.
Did he just watch Nanette?
I'm sorry? No, I cried during the entire thing. But it was a weird thing to have just done that, because again, I've done podcasts, panel shows and all that, but to have done that with him and to see the Tough Crowd logo up again, It was like, fuck, we just kind of riffed that for an hour.
Especially with the amount of love you guys must have gotten for it.
It was great. Yeah,
Mackie would have hated that.
He would have, yes. He would have, like, yeah, guys, but we used to actually write jokes out.
Oh, yeah, it was a funny show. Although, I mean, that classic clip of
Leary and,
Geraldo and Leary, yeah, where it's like, that's kind of what amazing. We do.
Yeah, that's right.
Would you write jokes for this? It's like, yeah.
That was hilarious that Leary thought that was an insult.
Yeah. What did you prepare?
Yeah. Well, for a fucking TV show? Yeah.
Well, it was funny that the guys who would go on there, like, it seemed so loose and, like, you could do whatever, but you had to have, I mean, Dumb Patrice would never write his jokes down, but he was, you know, he was a good enough talker.
Sure.
But he would have, everyone had to have stuff because you were with four comedians talking about the same subject.
Well, it's also like your time television show, right? Like, you kind of have, you can't just make it up as you go because you can't afford that much room to bomb. Like, you can't fuck up an entire episode because nobody's got anything at the spur of the moment.
Well, tell that to Kathy Griffin.
If you're sitting on a panel with fucking Patrice and Nick and Geraldo, and you're all going to be talking about, okay, Bush did this.
Yeah.
And you're with those guys and Colin, and you prepared? Think you're just going to go up, like, you better have something. You better have a couple of layers written because Greg's going to hit an angle, Nick's going to hit an angle, Patrice, Kyle, everyone's going to be firing shit, so you have to have stuff, or at least ideas of what you want to say, because if you think you're just going to riff and have better jokes than those guys, you're crazy.
What right. I thought was nice was that even when Colin would slip on a word or two as the host, that you guys as the panelists would kind of just let him go.
Like,
and just kind of support him. Like, not, you wouldn't want to point it out.
It was so fun to leave. We used to have to submit certain things, like third and fourth act things had to be what go through standard and practices.
Were those like the skits and stuff like that?
Those always were, yeah. But once in a while, we would have a thing where Colin would give us a quiz or whatever, and it would be riffed or just improv. And other times, we would have it. So one time, I submitted this thing that wasn't particularly good. It was a Pac-Man joke.
Like the game?
Uh-huh. And in the joke, I made the Pac-Man sound.
What year was this?
Oh, no.
2003 or 4.
So Pac-Man wasn't at its height of popularity.
No, I don't remember. Can you look that up? It might even be out there. And it didn't do well. I'm very embarrassed
Any
by it.
Any commitment, when you're not an act-out comic and you commit and it doesn't work, it's one of the worst feelings.
Right, because this is you're out of your comfort zone anyway.
It's like it's a weird feeling. You're like, you know, I'm being kind of vulnerable. I'm going for that sound effect. And they just stare at you. You're like,
This is why I don't
scroll
do
to
this.
Video. Scroll for video.
So, were you just like looking at the camera and making this joke to camera?
No, to Colin.
I hope you can find it because I really want to hear this Pac-Man bit.
It was not. Just put
Jimmy. Colin knew it was coming.
Oh boy, did he!
And he didn't stop you from that.
No.
So this is how beautiful that show was. That in the back room, you submitted a joke that he knew wasn't going to work, and he didn't say a word.
No, go to Jim Norton Tough Crowd. You try Pac-Man. Yeah.
That is funny that it's his own show, and he's encouraging someone to eat shit.
Yeah, he's just looking at it. He knows this isn't going to work, and he's like, okay, go for it, Jim. Yep, nope,
see
approved.
If it's that one. Let me zip through it.
Wesley Clark.
Just see if you can zip through, Sally. I'll tell you where it's
Wesley
at.
Wesley Clark. This really dates itself a little bit.
That's why it never got
General
released.
Clark. Oh, my God, Jim.
It's okay. You didn't take it too far.
No.
But there's
probably I don't know. Just keep jumping through. Jim, I thought it was me and...
You look 10 years younger now than you did then.
Really?
Yeah, dude.
That's how it He's goes. Very fat then. My words.
And I'm catching us in a little lie.
Well, I'm talking about that...
Oh, Jake Johansson.
Great comic, man. 40-something Letterman's?
Yeah, no, 47, I think.
Norton should go back to stupid, take your 140,000 million and leave, dummy. Go ahead.
Oof. Well, I think this whole thing is...
He just looked at him and said, oof, because he didn't get a reaction.
But he was the...
People actually suing Grand Theft Auto. The makers of Grand Theft Auto, because a couple of teenagers reenacted what they saw in the game, went out and shot people, and now their families are suing Grand Theft Auto. And this has nothing to do with bad parenting. I mean, it could happen to any of us, because I remember when I was a teenager, I was arrested for painting my face yellow and running around yelling waka waka after playing Pac-Man.
Shh. Nobody say anything.
It got a little chuckle. Please. And that will look much better when it's finally
audience,
edited.
Please. Let's give him an honest approach.
Mike said it. Did you say you paint your face yellow and you walk like a Pac-Man?
I did say that, yes.
You don't think that was kind of an insult to every comedy fan that took the time to come down to the joke stunk.
You know, I did stink. I apologize. To you at home, this will probably never make the air, but if it does, I'm sorry. That joke was awful. I mean, granted, I'm not smooth enough to shove food to my fat face and bang my groin.
Were you surprised when it made air?
No.
No.
It was not. That was wow,
great.
Good fight. I mean, that came up pretty quick.
That's one of the, that's like the beauty of that show, though, that you would just address the bomb. Like, every other show is so overproduced now.
You addressed the bomb. Yes. It was sloppy. Because it was honest. It tried to be... What? We tried to make it honest, which is comedy is not always beautiful. There's times where you trip on it. There's times where it's ugly. It's flawed. It is what it is.
I always thought it was like, you know, just as a viewer, I was like, Comedy Central is finally doing a show where comedians get to be comedians. I was like, this is the show that should be the purpose of the network at the time.
Yeah. I mean, right? And the fact is we were on right after The Daily Show. Mm-hmm. I think it was right after The Daily Show. Fuck, that was fun. So if people liked, again, the video I posted was 8 seconds.
That was a great hour of TV, man. That's like when Jon Stewart was like locked in too. That was a good hour, man.
Oh, you know what? Funny you just said that. Because we did an hour last night. Tough. We just, but it's only a 30-minute show.
It was only ever 30 minutes.
It was 22 minutes with commercials. Yeah. There's no way we couldn't fucking bang out an amazing 22-minute. It would be funny. And a lot of people would be angry by the takes. People would take, but I think we should try it again. It's like we've talked about it for years. Why not? What else are we doing?
Especially as easy as it is to now create your own content and find a venue for it.
Yeah. And Colin was so funny last night as the host, just off the cuff. I mean, you know, just so funny. No writers, nothing, because everyone had writers. You had to write for the monologue. Hilarious.
Dude, Mackie and I, we can't officially announce this, but we can tease it that we might roast battle each other on Comedy Central.
That's just a tease.
Just a tease. He said we could tease it.
So
we might roast battle each other.
No, I can't confirm or deny those vicious rumors that I would even be seen.
Yeah.
on television.
Are you worried that it would bring down your level of celebrity?
I don't want to be associated with him. I see.
Yeah, I understand.
I see. That's got to be
I'm
going to
dig way deeper than Rachel Maddow or Hannah Gatsby, Joe.
Are you really going to make it hurt?
No. We're going to be fun.
Hey, so Sam, I was waiting for you, too, because I did. You and I texted a little bit like chums will do.
That's right.
But I did watch Hannah Gatsby's Nanette. Did she ever explain why Nanette was the name of the show?
All she said in the beginning of the show was that she named it Nanette after a person that she was dating at the time. She said, I named it Nanette before I had actually written the hour, and it was after a woman that I was dating at the time who I thought, oh, she's so interesting, this is going to be easy to get an hour out of, and then that didn't happen, but she didn't change the name.
I wonder if there's something they cut out of the special.
She started with that and said that it's not going to be related to the show.
She named the show a certain thing before she wrote the hour, but before the special is aired, you could have. I don't know. I thought that it felt like there was something that was incomplete about that.
Just the title, you mean?
Yeah. We saw the, you know, we watched it because so many people had opinions on it. You know, comedians were saying, and by the way, anyone who thinks it's the death of comedy, I have not read anything on this. I haven't read her interviews. Any writer who has said this is the death of comedy, you're a stupid motherfucker.
It's truly true.
Yeah, go see Joe Mackey if you think comedy's dead.
Oh, come on.
You stink.
Yeah, because it'll prove you wrong.
Attaboy, Joe.
Yeah, Joe.
Ooh, Joe.
Battle.
Yeah.
Battle.
Boy, this is going to be a good one. If there is a battle, I can't say.
Don't know. What we should do is try to get it down here before Jeff Ross has a chance to do it.
I totally agree.
That's what I think.
But to say it's the death of comedy, again, I liked it a lot more than I thought I would. But it did nothing. It has not changed comedy at all. It was an interesting thing that she did, and it's definitely worth watching. It does feel like a one-person show towards the end of it. There's things about it I would have preferred she didn't do. But it's just a comedy special that has a one-person show vibe at the end of it.
So if anything, it expanded the genre, not detracted.
No, because people don't know how to watch something. And like, because she's talking about in early on, she's going, I might have to quit comedy because I need to tell my story. And it was like, look, she had some horrible shit happen to her, being fucking a lesbian in this Tasmania.
That's crazy.
And being told that it was criminal there, and all this self-hatred. And she was talking about how self-deprecation is not humility, it's humiliation. So she might have to quit comedy because she can't tell her story. She feels like it's selling her story short. But the reality is, you don't have to do self-deprecation.
No, for some people it works, and for others it's like, do whatever kind of comedy you want to fucking do. No, there's no comedy Bible.
Right. You could talk about all of these stereotypes about being gay or looking male or the shitty way you were treated or men being abused without self-deprecating.
Of course.
You don't have to self-deprecate.
The joke can be on the people doing it to you. You don't have to put the joke back on yourself.
Yeah, and she was saying that the joke... She said one thing that was very... It was brilliant, but then it flawed her ending. She did a whole thing on art history, which I thought was great. It was very original, talking about how Picasso was kind of a piece of shit. And, you know, she knew what she was talking about.
Not a commonly covered subject in stand-up.
No! And yeah. So I respected it. I'm like, yeah. It's original. Anybody who didn't... she's a very original person. It was very personal.
I kind of wish she had peppered in a few punchlines in there. At some point in the Picasso thing, I felt like she was doing a show for herself.
A little bit, yeah. Again, it does...
It's like when I start talking about wrestling and everybody's like, we've lost the universal appeal of this, Sam.
Mackie starts trashing Ally G.
Yeah, he really was. He went in hard. He went in hard.
What's your trash LAG for, man?
I don't like any kind of prank stuff.
Oh, is it mean?
Yeah, it's mean.
Well, then don't drink your coffee.
You and your best friend go around insulting each other, and you don't like it when people are mean to each other?
I'm telling the truth. Oh. The whole time.
So, yeah, it was the whole thing. I felt she could have put some... Because she was saying that when you say I have to tell my story, and I can't... there's things I want to talk about in my act now, and I can't. Because I can't make them funny yet. There's certain things I have not talked about because they're not funny to me yet. Not in a self-righteous way. I just haven't found the thing that just where I just go on stage one night and it works. So I can't talk about it because who gives a fuck if I'm about my life if I can't make it funny as a comedian?
But couldn't Hannah just write a book? You know what I mean? Do comedy and also tell your story. You don't have to. It's not like comedians get 60 minutes to tell their story, and it better be funny, and that's the only communication you're going to get with an audience.
I haven't seen the special. I don't care. If that's what you want, it's your special. If that's what you want your special to be, I just don't like when people are like, this is comedy now. Where it's like, it's got to be that now. There can be jokey specials.
I'm still going to laugh when a piano falls on a guy's head.
It's always funny. Slapstick is always funny.
Yeah.
But she talked about... how the story, how the laughter, I guess comedy would kind of degrade the point of the story, but that's not the truth.
No, I don't like these rules is what I'm saying.
Yeah, and I find self-deprecating humor empowering sometimes.
It can be,
So I don't know if that's a universal truth that self-deprecation is belittling her experience.
That's her reality.
That could be the reality for her, but I don't think it's reality for anybody.
I listen to another guy, Trevor Noah's story. That guy's had a crazy fucking life.
Yeah.
You know, I can't ever imagine what his life has been like. So, yeah, maybe for people like that, maybe it is belittling. But for someone like me, I love self-deprecating jokes.
I haven't had the experiences she had, but I like making jokes about my big beer, stupid beer gut or whatever, because it makes you feel a little more relieved to acknowledge it and just have it out there.
And if she didn't feel that way anymore, you don't have to do... Your act does not have to be self-deprecation. It can be about the insanity of society to feel that way, or it can be about the ignorance of other people. You don't have to... And I sent Sam a clip. People who tell their story and a tragic story and are funny resonate far more than somebody who just preaches at you.
Richard Pryor kind of did a career on that.
Yeah.
That's the clip was. And I'm not going to edit the name of his. The album is called Bicentennial Nigger. It's 1976.
Oh my God, yeah. Travis, can you please dump?
And it's a really sarcastic, statement about America and black people. And it's just dripping with fucking anger and he's disgusted and he gets laughs through the entire fucking piece. And you know exactly...
Well, that's the challenge, right?
Well, it was the name of the bit. It was the final bit on that record. It's not his funniest bit. But when you talk about taking painful things and making them funny, he didn't need to drill the message home with a stop. All kidding aside, ladies and gents.
Right.
The bit was funny from point A to point B. And when you listen to it, again, it's a 2-minute bit, you're like, oof. It was a really, really heavy way to close a comedy album. In 1976. And so if that's how he told the story, and I've heard that for 40 years, and the power of that has resonated with me for 40. I never once felt like I was preached at. I knew exactly what he was saying. I knew exactly what he meant by it. And he didn't have to stop and go, no more laughter here. Let me sit you down and tell you.
Exactly. That's, right. That's like, actually, like, it's almost like we're being talked at sometimes with these jokes. You know, it's like, it's almost like we're being shown and not told. I mean, told and not shown, rather.
To play devil's advocate, though, I do think that if there's flaws in a comedy special, that's, you could say that about any comedy special. But yeah, I agree with what you're saying. That it's almost like we got to pause the comedy show here for a second to not do the comedy.
I would say to play devil's advocate.
Where did you learn your trade? You stupid fucking cunt, you idiot. She got a great ass.
Yeah, I thought that like multiple times, not even just in the end, multiple times her special kind of drifted into a TED talk where it was, she was just telling her story without jokes. And like you said, talking at people and like getting up on her podium and letting everybody know that this is right. She is right. You are wrong. And she also went on this thing that bothers me just on a logic level, on an intellectual level, where, you know, she's making fun of like men and white guys and stuff like that, which is fine.
Sure.
But she said specifically, she was like, and if you think I'm persecuting you, I am. Because, you know, I'm telling all these stories about how I've been persecuted and multiple, all the groups I associate with have been persecuted. So you can take it for an hour. And I've always, like, I get it, but I've also always, and she's right that, like, white guys need to be able to take a joke about white guys.
Mm-hmm.
But the idea that you should persecute the people that persecute you, it's like, if it was bad when they did it to you, why would you turn around and do it to them?
I didn't feel like it was kind of persecuted. What was interesting about it was I thought it was a funny thing when she was saying how people telling, oh, just take a joke. And then she turned around and did all these callbacks using them against white males, the things that she's been told.
That was
she
funny.
Tied it in with, you need a good dick in you. I thought it was hilarious when she did that.
Like, swallow some jizz. That's what she said.
What'd you say?
Jizz.
Oh, jizz. Yeah. Swallow some jizz or whatever. Yeah. I thought it was great. So, you know, I enjoyed the special a lot more than I thought. And she did things that I didn't think she needed to do.
Yeah. Yeah. I thought that, yeah. I mean, there were moments, it almost felt like she wasn't that experienced with the material or with comedy in general or with what she really wanted to do. Because the message, it's not a bad message. You can get the message out there. But I felt like the most important points started getting lost on me.
Yep.
Because I didn't mind when she was being funny. Like, it wasn't the funniest comedian I've ever seen, but it was comedy. Like, it wasn't somebody that's like, how the fuck did you get on Netflix? It was like, okay, like, this is
sure.
Some of the jokes were cute or whatever. But when she wanted to drive home the important points by yelling and being angry about it and just get, I was like, it's getting lost on me because it's not being delivered with any like poignancy. It's not being delivered with a different spin. It's not like turning people's minds. It's just listing things that are bad.
Right.
That anybody watching that special would be like, yeah, like I thought those were bad walking in. I think punching lesbians is a bad thing to do. When you hear that a lesbian gets the shit kicked out of her, I think everybody watching that special is going like, yeah, that's horrible. But I thought it was horrible when Matthew Shepard told his, when the Matthew Shepard story was told, you know, decades ago.
He was a good stand-up, though.
He was good.
He was solid.
He was good.
Yeah, but he's, after 10 minutes, he really was like the same thing over and over again.
So it's like,
he was no Jeremy Piven.
That's where it's like, if we all already think this is bad, what are we accomplishing here? Like, what
do you tell your story? I just feel like with stand, I haven't seen this yet. I'll watch it this week, but it's like that thing where now jokes don't sell a special. It almost feels like you got to have some hook.
Something very unique and original. But she said something very, very contradictory.
Yeah.
She goes, at one point she was talking about art. She made a brilliant point where she said, artists don't create the zeitgeist. They respond to it, which was a very good point. Because that is what art is, what comedy is.
Yeah.
You're not creating the world. It's what reporters are supposed to do.
I believe Jeremy Piven said it very well when he said, hug it out, bitch.
And, that's right. That's right.
But at the end of the special, she was talking about how comedians have a responsibility. And if comedians had done their job during Monica Lewinsky, instead of making her the punchline, maybe we would not have gotten a man elected today. Well, she was saying if comedians had done their jobs and not made fun of Monica, they'd made fun of Bill, which first of all, I was doing stand-up when Clinton happened. Comedians made fun of Bill.
Bill Clinton got made fun of
Bill
the whole
Clinton
time.
Got yeah. murdered by comedians. Yeah. So did Monica. But Bill Clinton got killed by comics. And then she's saying if comedians had done their jobs properly, maybe Trump wouldn't have got... Like, that was basically the push of it.
Comedians really get a lot of the political pressure these days.
But I mean, in
you
one minute...
People were mad at Jon Stewart for retiring. Like, which, you got Trump.
Which let's be honest. Like, you know, you guys are stand-ups.
Yes.
None of you started stand-up comedy because you wanted to be more responsible. Because you were like, oh, I want to be responsible in my life. I'm going to be a comedian. You know,
but it's not our job.
I wanted Ross Perot to have a better campaign.
You did.
Yeah.
Okay. All right.
It's not our job. That's not my fucking job.
No, of course not.
It's not my job to teach the sheep, to lead people, to educate people. That's
not
my
job. You mean you're not a political scientist?
No, it's not my job as a comic.
Right.
It's not my job is to make you walk away learning something. I'm not a lesson teacher.
It's our job to respond to the zeitgeist.
That was a great way for her to put it, though. Artists do respond to it. We don't create it.
That's true.
Comedians are not supposed to be creating the fucking... So don't say that about artists and let them off the hook, and then all of a sudden act like comedians, our job is to change culture. It's not.
She also started, and this to me was hypocritical, she started by saying, you know, what do you identify as? What do you identify as? And she goes, at this point, I just identify as tired.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's great. That's
yeah.
Right? Good joke. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's like, I think a lot of people feel that way. Like enough of like figuring out what the label is for this and who are you and what are you and blah, blah, blah. But then
it's frustrating to hear that she like labeled all white guys as something. Because that's also putting a label on it's
she after that
generalizing everything.
I didn't mind that. I don't care if people make fun of white guys. It's like
after that joke, I
mind when they make fun of all white people as being the same thing, or all black people as being the same thing, or all Asian women, or you know, whenever you say that this whole group is this way.
Yeah, name more groups.
It's silly to say that all people of this group behave exactly the same.
Right.
But after that joke of I identify as tired,
mm-hmm.
like everything is identity politics. The whole thing is about identity politics. And you're like, why would you start?
Well, maybe she went in with a joke, it sounds like. At least you go in with a joke.
Yeah, but the joke is contradictory to what the whole spin, you know, to what the spin of the special is.
I don't mind that in comedy. I don't mind, like, I care more about the jokes than I do the message. Like
or the consistency.
Right? Like, I want to laugh.
Because we're all hypocrites. Yeah. I mean, that's...
But you can joke your way out of being a hypocrite if you're just telling jokes.
Right.
But when you stop telling jokes...
Oh, yeah.
And you're like, wait, I thought, are we weighing these statements as statements?
Right.
Or are we just listening to jokes and being funny? Like, I turned on Tom Segura's special after this special, and I was like, oh, no, this is what I'm supposed to feel is like when I'm watching a comedy special. It's hilarious.
I think that
it's so funny.
I haven't seen her special, but I think if she'd placed that joke at the end of a bunch of identity politics jokes, it would have been, a better place.
Totally.
It's just got to be, there has to be jokes or
but it didn't end with jokes.
Right. Call it something else. Just call it something else. It's not changing comedy.
No.
It's being mislabeled.
Yes.
And again, it is a comedy. She's a legit comedian. It's a legit special.
There's completely, there's no, like, you're not sitting there going, like, this shouldn't be on Netflix. This shouldn't be labeled comedy. This shouldn't, call it whatever you want, but let's not pretend that, like, the genre is changing and that everybody who performs comedy now has to have, what are your statements that you're ending your special with?
But Sam Gemini's success and failure isn't going to be determined by one other person's special.
Right.
No, and right. But people just want to get...
You can't name your special Manette now. That's kind of a bummer. Wow, that was Waka Waka. Waka Waka.
No, it wasn't
I thought
bad.
It wasn't a bad. I thought it wasn't a bad name. I was like, that's kind of funny.
You know, I know people. Did this happen? I don't know. Hello, Peter in Canada.
Hey, how you doing, guys?
Good, how are you?
Good. I was just curious if you guys thought the rise of the shows like The Daily Show and The Colbert Report, all those comedy fake news shows, do you think they have something to do with putting comedians in a different light, and now sometimes comedians take themselves more seriously than they did even 10 years ago?
All right, thanks, Peter. I don't know.
I think there's something to that. I mean, I think that, you know, the timing of everything, that coupled with social media and the idea of just people's opinions, like people thinking that their opinions on things matter way more. And you see comics getting like a lot of press and getting a lot of credit for being the voice of this group, or look at this person breaking the mold or whatever. So you almost lose sight. I could see a young comic watching the route that some people take, losing sight of the fact that this game is supposed to be just about telling the funniest jokes you can tell, because they're watching other people succeed on being the voice of this disenfranchised group. Or even if you're not a member of that group, I'm going to speak for this. I'm going to come from that point of view without thinking about what are the jokes.
Being right is more important than being funny.
Right.
To a lot of people.
Well, I think when The Daily Show started, it was a lot of pure comedians, like guys like Steve Carell and Stephen Colbert and David Tellison.
Was Carell a stand-up? No. Oh, yeah, Louis Black
was on Black. Improv guy.
But, like, you know, as time goes on, I guess it's like maybe there's like a self-righteousness, which to me is like the death of comedy. Like, try to be funny.
The
like,
original, when Jon Stewart first started doing The Daily Show with all those guys, a lot of it wasn't just... let's bash Republicans, liberal. A lot of it was absurdist comedy.
Yeah.
You know, because a lot of those guys...
There's a lot of great comics who still do the, you know, Roy Wood's one of my favorite comics, you know?
Yeah.
But there is definitely, you know, in comedy, being funny is still just the most important thing to a lot of comics. And then there's these comics who care about being right, you know? And that is the death of comedy.
Well, it's boring. Who gives a fuck if you're right?
Right.
Who cares? You know, the thing that separates a comic from somebody who's not a comic, everyone has a story. Do you know how many people have sad stories? So the thing that separates us is we have the ability to tell these stories or talk about these things and make you laugh about them. Whatever angle we choose to take.
Like the great Rupert Pupkin?
Yes.
Yes.
We take the terrible, awful things in our life and somehow turn them into comedy.
That's it.
But I mean, that technically is a great, that is what it is. Just taking the terrible, awful things in my life and discussing them
right,
is not necessarily stand-up. It can be a one-person show that's very compelling and very inspirational and very interesting, and that's all great.
Sure, people give talks.
That's fair.
Right.
Nothing wrong with it.
But I think, the caller makes a good point, though, where it's like, I think those shows definitely influence, you know, the way comedy, for the better and worse, will be influenced over time. Like, Animal House, you know, great comedy, but think about all the shitty movies that came after that, trying to recreate that. When you try to recreate the exact same thing, that's what I think happens over time. It doesn't stay great. When you just keep doing the same thing, that fucks comedy up.
Well, Animal House was a shitty movie, too. I'm just trying to keep insulting things that everyone loves.
Did you not like it?
No, I'm just kidding. No, I think you're right, though. I mean, it launched a number of great comedians' careers. How could it not influence people?
Yeah, but then people try to redo it, but they try to redo it without what made it great.
Exactly. Right,
which was catching you off guard or doing something that you're like, holy shit.
I think Sam might have had a tweet where it's a lot of comedians first credited as an article about politics in the New York Times or something along those lines.
Said something like that.
It's now, true.
Well, it's like, it used to be like you want to get on like Conan or the Tonight Show or something, and now comics, like I see like you've seen this guy in an article in the New York Times, and you're like,
yeah.
Okay, that's not a comedy outlet.
Yeah, and people, once certain people start praising something, other people don't want to come out and go, yeah, it's good, but there's this angle, you know.
Right.
But they're saying that it changed comedy. No, you could say you loved it, but it didn't change. It didn't make comedy worse. It didn't make it better. It was just, it's a different, unique special she did.
Yeah, that I would hope people don't try to mimic. Because that can get annoying.
Because whenever you're talking, like, let's be, if you want to break down the honesty of anything, when you're doing a 1 hour planned performance, the emotion is even planned. Not planned like it's not fake, but you know where the emotional points are coming.
You're going to figure out where to hit it.
Sure.
I'm going to put a laugh here because over here, I'm going to get really angry. And over here, I'm going to get really sad.
Yeah, because that's just the way the story is told.
Right.
So if telling your story and knowing where the sad points are going to be and knowing where it's going to and kind of knowing that you're taking people on an emotional roller coaster, if that's okay, why is having laughter in there not okay?
Well, here's the risk, too. Don't you think that, and I don't know, but don't you think that just telling your story is way easier than making jokes about your story?
Or
isn't it going to be easier if comics think that they can get away
That's a good special title right there. My story.
Right.
Like, this is my story.
Wouldn't it be easier for a young comic to like just go up there and tell their story without jokes?
Yeah, it's like his parents died in a car accident when he was two.
That's going to be a great bit.
That is like the funniest thing about like roasts to me now is like when you hear these roasts, these comics like go at each other, and it's like the setup to the joke is like the most fucked up thing. They're like, his mother died in a car crash, and you're like, oh my God, this is where we're going?
Yeah, it's almost like roasts have become this thing where people are going to find the most horrible shit they can say about you.
Yes.
Where but if they're friends, it's like one thing. But if you don't know the person, it's just...
Yeah, but whatever happened to Surface? Like, whatever happened to you with a big nose, you know?
Dude, that goes back to my theory about people... Nowadays, when you're allowed to be mean, it's 100 times worse because there's so few... There's so many fewer spots... Where people are socially acceptable to be mean now, as opposed to like, you know, when Tough Crowd was on the air, for example.
Right.
That now when it's a roast or when you find a villain on the news that you can go after, you just go
it's
for
true,
the
but
jugular.
It doesn't feel that way. Because like on Twitter, people will say shit that's just like insane.
But only anonymously.
That's true.
Right? Like, no, but like you wouldn't go and say something crazy on Twitter.
Yeah, I got insulted by... somebody's screen name was Buttlick or something. And a number, I'm like, I can't take this seriously.
They just tried to get the most personal insult. Oh man, today Buttlicker 44 really, they hurt my feelings.
Did you like, I liked her special more than I thought I would. I it was funnier than I thought I would, like, because I heard all these comedians were killing it, and I'm like, wow, this must be awful. But I was like, yeah, she's a good comic. It was just the end, the choice she made, I wish she didn't make.
I ended up liking it more than I thought I would, just because Mark Norman was so against it.
Had he seen it or no?
No. He hasn't seen it.
He has not seen
it. He's been trashing it to me by text, and I'm like, you haven't even seen this.
That's why we told him, you can come back on the show after you watch the special, because we're all going to watch it. So yes, I think because expectations were so low, I liked it more than I thought I would. But had I just watched the trailer for it, and just seeing this, like, you know, with all the fairy dust sprinkling everywhere, and this is going to change the world, and one woman story, and blah, blah, blah. Then I'd probably be like, oh, get the fuck over yourself. You know what I mean? I think our expectations were lowered by one Mark Normand, as he tends to do to people, as opposed to, you know, shooting him through the moon with all the New York Times reviews, and this is a remarkable feat of stand-up comedy, the likes of which we've never seen, and relax.
Yeah, relax. Exactly. Pryor also told a very, very painful story, and he was the funniest guy ever, and he made you laugh through the whole thing, but he told very, very painful truths.
But that's the crazy thing, is you're saying she's, what, 12 years in, and we're comparing it to that. You know what I mean? So, I mean...
She's done something right.
Yeah.
She's funny, yeah, but no,
I'm terrified, though, at the idea, because you're right about Pryor and his like personal thing and her personal thing. I'm terrified at the idea of the way people are like, yeah, Pryor was my biggest influence. Like, there's so many comics that say that.
Yeah.
Any comic that at this point in her career, Hannah is like the big influence that pushes them, is terrible.
Well, people are going to try to do what she did. They're going to try to be just poignant.
And that's what that's the mark of a, you know, influential special, right? But it's also something where I'm like, well, I also am hungry for these like punchline heavy specials, because that seems to be lost on us now. It's like these like bam, bam, bam specials. And it's like you almost feel like agents are going to be on the phone like, you got to see this special. This person was molested. You know what I mean? You're like, right, right. Like, that's like the sale now.
Yeah, they're covering very tough subjects. And to me, it's like, you got to be funny. It's got to be funny, or why would I say it? Like, if I can't make a joke about it, I shouldn't be talking about it in stand-up comedy.
It's almost, yeah, it's so odd, because it used to be stand-up was the one place where you would fight for, no, I know that in theory this concept isn't funny, but my job is to make a joke about it that is funny. This type of comedy is almost going with, you're right, that is not funny. I'll still talk about it on stage, but I won't be funny about it.
Yeah.
And you go like, well, what are you doing then?
Yeah. What exactly? Why are you saying that if you're not going to make it funny?
Those are the bits I cut.
The ones that aren't funny.
Yeah.
Yeah. You try to. But I, there's things I've been wanting to talk about. I just can't. And when I find a way to make them funny, I'll talk about them.
Right.
But until then, I feel like, who gives a fuck about my experience? Who cares?
Write a slam poetry book.
You got to see this new comedian. He comes out dressed as an aborted fetus.
Yeah.
And he talks about how his mother tried to get rid of him for an hour and a half.
Jokes about
Edinburgh last year.
But no one cares about my experience itself. Who gives a fuck? Everyone has. There's people who are not comedians that have far worse lives than I have.
But people care, but they don't care enough to sit through you talking about it with no jokes.
Friday night at 10:30, when it's a comedy show at a building that says it's the Laugh Barn, that I expected to laugh at. Like, I don't watch...
I don't watch Hogan's Heroes to learn about World War II.
Right.
Just saying, watch it because I want to see.
This next comedian won the Fringe Festival last year with his story. Please give a warm welcome to Papa John. Papa John.
Yeah, you're saying you couldn't get away with the end of that set at like Chuckles.
Right. Yeah.
No, I mean, and again, it's one person show is great. Do it. I'm not saying you shouldn't do it. But it's a little bit, you know.
Yeah, it's flawed.
It's flawed, especially when earlier you say that fucking artists don't create the zeitgeist, they respond to it. Like, when you say that, and then you say, comedians have responsibility. No, we don't. No, we do not.
She really did get fired up, didn't she?
But we don't have, I'm sick of hearing how comedians have a responsibility. We don't.
You really don't.
Your job is to go up there and be funny, talking about the world and yourself and everything in it, how you see fit. That's your fucking job, to try to be as original and funny as you can be. That's it. If you have a message, great. If you're Brian Regan and you just want to be silly, great. If you're Emo Phillips, great. What, do you want everybody up there? What, you're not a legit comic if you're up there talking about silly things?
But there could be different types of comics, too. Like, if this is her comedy, that's
it's great.
You know, and then we can have Gaffigan, and then we can have, as you said, Regan. Like that.
Or Dave Attell, who's absurdist and filthy and brilliant. Or that's the beauty of it.
Yeah.
But do you really want to see? I don't want to see everybody being like Jim Gaffigan.
Oh,
I don't
want to
see.
No.
You know, I don't want to see everyone being Mitch Hedberg.
We did that benefit show. Attell immediately gets on stage after Mackie and goes, "Oh my God, I've never seen a teen shooter with a belly."
That's not nice. That's not
no,
cool.
It was a funny joke. It was a funny joke that put me down. I liked it.
I didn't get to
and
watch
it. You can hear more about it in his story this summer.
Yeah.
Took a long time to get over that.
I want to, I'm going to take this. Ian in Chicago, we're going to go to. This is just silly. Yes, sir.
What's cracking, baby?
Hey, buddy.
Ian, shout out to Sands Entertainment.
Oh, the guy's the best.
He really is a gem, isn't
he? Really is a fuck. He's starting a revolution.
He's getting to the bottom of a lot.
There's a 16-second clip on YouTube that shows that Chipa might be stolen from the Jerky Boys.
You know,
I'm wondering if you could. Okay, yeah.
I believe it is true.
Yes, it's absolutely. That's what I did. I listened to the Jerky Boys and I said, aha, I'll ruin my personal life with this. No, the clip you're talking about, Ian, the character, it's a gay character that, which Jim Norton more stole than Chip, that he does, and where it goes, or something, he says, or you do this or something.
Let's hear the clip.
But it's, yes.
Oil or something.
Yeah. Hang on, let's hear the clip, bud.
You're far from Daytona or Epcot or something. I don't think you know geography or something too well. That doesn't sound right. Florida and New York. You're being silly. Go ahead. What, you want him to try this thing out?
That's ridiculous. I know the character. I listen to the Jerky Boys.
It's very ridiculous for a couple of reasons. We'll play that entire clip, which is about a 3-minute phone call, which I may have heard in my life. I don't remember it, but again, I've listened to the Jerky Boys, so it's possible that I heard it. But Chip evolved. Chip started out being like, and it was in my personal life, and I would do it to annoy my girlfriends. And then it began changing over the air.
For a second, I thought you were saying Chip evolved.
Wait, but that was, they
I'm
both
Chip
have
evolves.
Lisps, and you both have lisps. It's,
but no, the fact that it was something.
Or something.
But when you listen to that whole clip, I mean, to think that I listened to that at one point, and then developed Chip.
That's right.
And then years later, brought that in. Like, it's silly. So to answer your question, of course not, Ian.
Yeah, let me skip Frank Rizzo and go right to this character.
Yeah, one is a gay character, and Chip is just an aggressive, angry asshole. But we'll play the entire clip of that call. You can find it. It's Jerky Boys, because I looked for it. Jerky Boys, look for Florida Daytona, because he mentions Florida Daytona in there. But it's a gay character named Jack Torres.
Yeah, Jack Torres, that's the name of the character.
Yeah, who is very funny.
Which get all silly and shit.
Yeah, but that's, you know, Chip is not. If, you know,
I just like to fucking dance.
Yeah, I think that one right there, the Florida, the tropical state. Right there. We'll play that when we go into break. All right, Ian, does that answer your question at all?
Yeah, you know, I was wondering if you were going to maybe stop doing the character. As far as comedy being dead.
Hold on, Ian. Am I going to stop doing? Of course not.
Why would he stop?
Not.
Ian, why would he stop doing the character?
Like that literally, people use the word stolen. Like that actually think, like you think that I sat there and went, that's a great line.
I think it's more like the Dane Cook situation where it's like you heard it. You said that in the past that you don't watch comics.
That's why I don't watch comedy. But this is, it's not like I had a gay character. Well, it's not like Chip is going, oh my God, I got to go down there and do this. It was like he just said something in the context of a bigger call. And we'll play the entire call. and you listen to that and you think I listened to that call and then came up with this character years ago in my personal life and then brought it on the air and then changed it. It doesn't make sense. So of course I'm not going to stop doing the character.
Ian, do you really think that Jim took the character, that Chip is stolen from Jack Torres, or are you just like, you like stirring shit?
I don't think he took it like, oh, I'm going to run with this. This is going to make me millions. I think he heard it. It sat in the back of his head. He forgot about it. He started doing it to bug his girlfriend, doing it on O&A. And then eventually he got the show and didn't realize that he had jacked it.
Wait, Jack, hold
now
on.
Now that you understand.
Have you heard the entire phone call, that entire phone call? Tell the truth.
I don't need to. That's
oh, my God.
Oh my God! I mean, this is better than like. But you,
Jack,
this is America. This is or something.
Ian,
it's like half your whole gig.
You haven't heard, Ian. You have not heard the whole call. So we'll play the whole call. You hear what that character is?
It's Jack Torres. It
Jack
couldn't
Torres,
be more different from Chip.
It's a gay character.
It's literally two words.
Or something.
Yeah, or something. He's just talking about it. It's not like that's the whole thing. Listen to the
Chip
entire.
Chip wasn't built
phone.
On or something.
No, that's the point. It's just something he says, like a piece of garbage.
It's enough that it could be in the back of your head and you could just start doing it as a gag.
Ian.
And then it evolves into Chip.
I understand what you're saying. And I understand that the or something sounds like Chip. But I'm telling you that that's not how the Chip character came to be. I'm telling you, I'm being truthful with you. I thought about it. I searched out the clip. I'm like, let me listen to the clip. And it's simply not what happened.
You know what's disgusting? The Chip is so successful that people are looking to find chinks in the armor. This
no,
can't
it's okay.
be real.
but you can't totally discount the explanation either. And you have to hear the entire call. We'll play it going into break. You know, it's a call that I probably have heard in the past. I didn't remember it when I heard it this time. But we'll play you the entire call, Ian, and you can see the tone of the character. It's just a different thing. But don't say you don't need to hear it. Of course you do.
Okay.
All right, pal. But I did not steal it. No, I've never heard something and went, aha, I'm going to take that and run with it.
Jack Torres. He was so...
All right, Ian, take care.
Jack Torres. Go ahead.
One more comment now?
Yes.
As far as comedy being dead, I think a lot of it's like oversaturation. Like you see Netflix is going to drop 47 specials in one day. But when you've got too much shit coming out and it's too political, that's what is making like the market hard for anybody to have a career.
Well, here's the problem Netflix has is they have an entire planet to represent. They have comics from Britain and Scotland and fucking Brazil and all these, because they have the entire planet to get comedians. So they don't just want American. They're trying to represent everybody. And you know what? It's not like HBO where there's a schedule. So they just, it's like a website on television. They're just taking shit and throwing it up and you can click on it and watch whenever you want. So I don't think they're saturating the market because it just sits there.
And there's people say, oh, there's 47 specials. How come this person ain't going? There's only four Americans. So it's misleading to say that there was, I don't know if a lot of people are going to see those specials and be like, well, this is not an American or
right.
They speak a different language. I'm not even going
like,
really to pay attention.
The vast majority of the people you will have never heard of because
right.
they're other countries and yeah.
All right, Ian.
All right, man. Thank you, guys.
All right, buddy.
Jack Torres was the best.
You forgot to yell signs.
Jack Torres was the best.
He was funny.
He did one call where he was like responding to an ad looking for like background dancers. And he did like tap dancing sound effects in the background and everything. And it's like little lines that just stick with you. The end line of the phone call before the guy finally hung up and he was, because I want to dance, you fuck. And the guy hung up on him.
All right, so let's go. I want to piss. Let's go to break. We'll play the Jack Torres call.
Did you talk about Who is America? Or
we did not, because I knew you had seen it and I had not seen it because we did a tough crowd reunion last night, which I got home later than I thought.
Joe, would you mind if we talk about that, or is that going to hurt you because people were misled?
Whatever you guys want.
Okay. Joe doesn't go for that at all.
He doesn't like that.
Yeah.
He doesn't like that.
All right, so here's a Jack Torres by the Jerky Boys.
You fuck.
And I just want to dance.
I want to dance, right. Goddammit.
We'll be back in a few.
Hello.
About the
ads
in the paper?
Yes.
How much you ask for the chainsaw?
The chainsaw?
Right.
It's actually my roommate's.
Yeah?
Yeah.
How much does he want for it?
Oh, I don't know. A few bucks, I guess. He uses it around the house and shit. He does, like, art with it, you know?
Yeah, what kind of...
Like, fucking sculptors. He does, like, ice and wood sculptors and shit. I don't know. It's like a saw, you know? Some kind of fucking saw makes noise and shit. Fucking thing cuts good, I could tell you that.
Is there any way he can get back to me on this?
You can come by and take a look at him or some shit.
Yeah, where? Where does he live?
He lives upstate in Manhattan in Boat. You know, he's up and down.
Yeah, but where?
Where? What do you mean where?
Where is he at right now? So let's go look at this stuff.
Oh, shit, I don't know. It's hard to get a hold of him, you know?
So why does he run an ad in the paper if you don't know where the hell he is?
No, it's not that. It's just hard to get a hold of him. He makes those fucking bears, and he does that ice shit, too. He's a fucking jerk, as far as I'm concerned. Thinks he's great with all that art and shit, but he's a fucking idiot. Yeah, so what do you want to do? Take a look at this thing or what?
Yeah, I gotta know where the hell it is.
He's a... Oh, see, he leaves me with these phone calls, this scumbag bastard. Well, what's your name? All right, where are you from?
From Florida, New York.
Oh, shit, how's the weather there? Nice?
Shitty.
Oh, shit. Usually sunny. Are you far from Daytona or Epcot or something?
I'm not down Florida.
Oh?
Up in New York.
Oh shit, wow, I didn't even know that fucking New York had a Florida.
Yeah.
So it shows you, see? We grow oranges there and shit like that?
No.
Oh, so the weather's not that good then?
Kid, it's not a tropical state. This is New York.
Oh shit, it's New York?
Yeah.
That's what I'm saying. I didn't know there was such a thing as a Florida in New York State.
Yeah.
I don't think you know geography or something too well. That doesn't sound right. Florida and New York. You're being silly.
Florida, New York is the name of the town.
Are you serious?
No.
Oh, see, you're playing then, you fuck you. That's what I just
Florida,
said.
Florida, New York.
Okay, great. So you're in Florida. See, you're getting mad with me. I'm just trying to help out. Go ahead.
This guy's an asshole because you don't know where the hell all this shit is.
I know, and he leaves me, the scumbag. I'm sitting here like a jackass, and now on top of it, you're getting nasty with me, and I'm sorry. I'm just really sorry.
I mean, this don't make any sense. Put the ad in the paper.
I know, but I'm just, you know... You get all mad with me, I'm sorry. Go ahead, what's your phone number?
651.
Yeah. I'll have him call you.
Oh, it's 914.
Okay, and what is he, what, you want him to try this thing out for you or something? What is he like?
Got an ad in the paper here that he's selling
I know,
phone equipment.
He's crazy. He was showing that fucking chainsaw yesterday. He's like, man, he's doing that shit, squeezing this fucking thing all around the house. Oil is squirting all over the fucking place, hot oil and gas and shit.
Tell this guy to give me a call.
Okay, in Florida. Don't be so angry, though, you know? I'm not the guy.
Yeah,
I don't sell this shit. I just watch this guy go crazy with that shit. He's an artist. He says he's fucking naked with the chainsaw running around the house. Me, I think he's a fucking jerk that belongs in Bellevue.
I gotta run. I gotta go back to work.
So go get some work done, you silly bastard.
Bye.
All right, you fuck. Bye.
Daniel Craig not being able to read on SNL.
What the hell was that about?
Holy fuck.
And that chipster influenced bit. Do you think it was, Jimmy?
I don't know. I watched it. It didn't sound like Chip.
No, but I mean the basic
was
idea.
Was it the essence of Chip, though?
It really had that feel like...
It's hard to say, man. Like, it could just be... Because I don't have the exclusive on people telling bad jokes. Like, you know, and being ironic with terrible jokes. Like, you know what I mean? I understand that's not my concept,
but it was
per
the
se.
Whole situation of people yeah. telling jokes and that guy just wrecking it with a bad fucking line that yeah. was very Chip-esque.
And then continuing on some weird thing like to just...
Yeah, it was just, there's something there.
Yeah, it did kind of...
Well, we got the audio.
Enough plausible deniability, but...
Yeah?
Yeah.
We got the audio. I'll play it for everybody
Oh,
next.
Yes.
Talk a little football, but a little baseball.
If that's yeah. happening, SNL needs to really stop listening to the show and doing that.
I know, man.
Before we get very, very unpleasant.
It really was. I saw something there.
Yeah, I watched it after people had told me. Yeah. And a lot of people said, no influence at all.
You got to assume some of these writers have heard us before.
Pirops.
There's been some things over the years where you're like, what? The famous one was the Mike Tyson... spelling bee. Was
nobody's
that...
nobody's copying you. Get over yourself. Well, get over this. Yeah. Bounced.
We've heard it over the years that these guys listen.
Yeah.
On yeah. these other shows, and then if you see a bit that's a little similar, of course you're gonna be suspicious,
mm-hmm.
right? So what? Summer saying? Are you? Did you start this?
No. Somebody else on the Twitter
said
started
that
on
SNL's
the Twitter.
Ripping off Chip. Hoo hoo.
You got it there with the whole visual aspect. If you want to play it through.
He doesn't look like him.
He doesn't look like it. He doesn't look like him. And
have you seen this yet, Jimmy?
Yes.
It's a construction site. There's guys. They're kind of catcalling girls that are walking by because they're construction workers.
Right.
And they each take their turn saying, you know, some sexual innuendo at the girl. And then it gets to Daniel Craig, who's playing this kind of goofy guy that just doesn't know how to tell a funny joke or or catcall the girls. And he just starts saying things that make no sense and make everyone awkward and uncomfortable.
And the thing that reminded me of Chip is the way it kind of the voice is very different, but the way it comes in at the end.
The concept
is weird.
Yeah, the concept itself.
Let's say this.
Fit right in, Jack. The main thing is just do what the foreman tells you. If he says dig, you dig. If he says eat, you eat.
Let's hope he doesn't say both at the same time, because then I'll end up eating dirt.
It's not the right same voice, but...
Yeah, all right, let's just get to work.
Whoa, speaking of working, check out that sweet piece, because her body's working overtime.
Yeah, that's one clock I'd like to punch all night long.
Yeah, only they're going to have to give her hazard pay, because that ass is dangerous.
Yeah, I bet she makes sex all over the place, all the time, like it's outstanding.
What?
No, I meant like her butt. It's like 100% whammo, you know? Like he was saying.
See, there's something there, right?
I'm not convinced, though, because the voice is different.
I said plausible deniability, and it's Daniel Craig who doesn't know Chip.
No, not at all.
So, like, what would they would just say, here's your lines, play a goofy guy. Like, it's not as specific, but the idea is there. But then the idea, you can just have enough, like I said, plausible deniability.
He's fucking hilarious in this, though.
Oh, you like
the lines are good, yeah.
The lines are good?
Sure. He said whammo, like a big tits or something.
So you think the other guys aren't that funny, but...
No.
Let's play a little more of those.
Whammo?
That's stupid.
Hey, it's Jack's first day, guys. Let's cut him some slack.
Hey, speaking of slacks getting cut, we got a couple of torpedoes incoming at 4 o'clock.
That's sexist.
Ooh, gosh, you've got my private standing at attention.
Dirty.
Say, who ordered Arby's? Because those are two juicy stacks of roast beef.
That's sexist. Yeah.
Stack them up. They're like two giant meaty jump wounds. They're like two big breasty squish rags.
Fucking great.
It's
fucking hilarious.
Chip, you think that's funny?
Yeah, fucking giant busty flesh fucking things. Fucking shit. This is a good show.
Yeah?
Fuck yeah. Crack up watching SNL.
Oh, boy. Chip likes the whole show.
It's fucking hilarious.
Hilarious?
Fucking crack up. Me and my mother would watch it.
Oh, that's...
Let's play a little more. Yeah.
Squish rags?
What?
I'm just agreeing with you, guys. She's like sexy times five, plus a boobies, carry the bone equals yum a dum dum.
Ben, where are you from?
I move around a lot. Hey, speaking of moving around a lot, check out the jump in that bump. I would crack that open, pour it into a glass, and sip it all afternoon.
Sexist.
Hey, somebody call Amtrak, because I need two tickets to Booty City.
That's dirty.
I'd hit it, quit it, and then beg for my job back so I could hit it again.
Yeah. She's like a big bowl of butt soup with extra nipples. And can I get that with a side of ooh-woo-woo? Yes, you can, sir. Your total comes to 5 kisses and 47 smooches. Drive up to the next window and collect that sweet, sweet ID.
Fucking home run, Daniel. God, what a terrible sketch.
It really is horrid.
Because the guys leading up to it,
well, their lines are horrible.
Stink.
Yeah, right. Yeah. If you're going to do the bit, those lines got to be way stronger.
Yeah. Right.
Because I don't even know which one is the bad line.
I know. They're all bad.
They're all bad.
Yeah.
Exactly. They're all terrible jokes.
I don't think we need to really run this through the awful. Whole thing, do we?
Well, SNL. SNL.
Oh.
SNL might have taken Jimmy's catchphrase.
This is the second thing in a row that people are saying that they got from Chip.
And people are going to say, you know, get over yourself.
Get over yourself. It's no coincidence or that. But it's like last week there was kind of a Chip Chipperson kind of bit.
We've known over the years that, you know, all these shows have writers and you know, they're influenced.
Uh-huh.
And sometimes they take their influences and they bring it to, what they're writing for.
Yeah.
I haven't heard this.
I haven't either.
And I try not to be paranoid about this stuff because, like, the idea of a guy doing bad jokes, that's not exclusive to me. Like, I understand that.
It was just a little bit...
That was a little fishy, but
Chipperson-ish.
Oh, they took your bit and they made it better, Jimmy.
Yeah.
Fucking assholes.
Yeah, see, your bits are for radio. This is, you know, made for TV.
Right. And TV way more important than this dumb satellite radio show. What's the deal, Travis? You said
Yeah, it's basically Christina Applegate was the host. So she plays a dance choreographer.
Oh, it's early. Very good.
And you know, she's very out there and she's the students aren't understanding what she's asking them to do.
Oh, okay.
So I pulled five clips because it's a 5 minute.
It's 5 minutes long.
So yeah, it's so long.
Okay,
5 minutes.
Yeah. Great. Here we go. A conk, a conk, conk, a cars, a buzz, a busy, 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 moving on. Ready? Moving on.
Wait, I'm confused.
Yeah, sorry, you just said donka donka.
Yes, that's correct. And from the donka donka, we have a conk, we have a zow, 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 zow. You got that? All right.
Yuck.
This don't make no sense.
So does he say it again?
Says it through the entire fucking.
Oh, that's the bit?
Yeah, this is the bit.
That's the bit. Is him saying that?
This is Farsi, honey. We don't do one, two, threes. We do kadonks, kadonks, zazaz. All right?
So a kadook is a three? That don't make no sense.
Okay, you people know who I am, right?
That sounds. He's even delivering it like that.
Yeah, that's the thing, is that when he's talking regularly during this skit, he doesn't talk like that.
Oh boy.
Well, I don't know, let's see.
You've heard the Tommy Toon stories, I'm sure, right? We were a hot item, and for that one crazy night, he loved me with every bit of his body except for his dong. Do you understand that? I would say it was hard on me, but no, really, it just laid there like a steamed carrot.
Why'd you tell that story? It's a bad reflection on you. That don't make no sense.
Okay, moving on. Moving on.
That don't make no sense.
I'll tell you why I'm getting annoyed listening to this. Because
bad.
Besides the fact it's awful, it's out of that don't make no sense is out of place.
Yeah,
which is the way Chip does it. It's out of place. That don't make no sense.
Yeah, yeah.
And he's saying it weird. That don't make no sense.
Stop ripping off SNL. I can hear it in your voice. Wow. Yeah, yeah. I think
try not to be paranoid about this stuff.
Jimmy's biting his teeth.
But I'm getting really.
You should be annoyed.
Really fucking irritated.
Just find it, darling. Own it. Come on, pulse, pulse, people, pulse. Come on, dance. That was it. Come on, you missed it.
This don't make no sense.
What's your name?
Charles.
Charles! Charles, what is not making sense to you?
Well, the whole thing. Mm-hmm. You, Tommy Toon, this song, this class, you. Look, I have an audition tomorrow, and I told them that I could dance. I lied to them, Miss Chiz. This needs to start making sense.
Oof.
Awful.
It's a horrible bit.
Yeah, that's bit. Fucking horrendous.
It's 2 weeks in a row, though, man. Yeah. Something.
Yeah, that's.
I think there's a new writer over there that might listen to this
you
show.
You take any one thing, it's like okay, but then you put a bunch of these things together, and
yeah, 2 weeks in a row.
2 weeks in a row.
Two complete fucking.
And there's been other ones in the past. So.
When that many people tweet you the same thing at the same time.
Oh god, everyone tweeted this. This one was they tweeted this one more than the first week.
Mm.
Yeah.
Yeah, I would appreciate whatever fucking writer
yeah
is being lazy and listening to the show and then taking little pieces of it. I'm going to start fucking attacking you verbally. Yeah. I'm going to start attacking you.
You know what would have made the bit better if he would have went, "You wearing a bra. That don't make no sense."
Was she?
Jesus.
It's just terrible.
You're obsessed with the color pink, aren't you?
Wow. Terrible. Oh, God.
This is where we lose Jimmy for about 3 minutes. He doesn't come back from these easily.
Oh, my God.
What do you think, Jimmy? That's your thing, man.
What do you think? It's a little close, man. And again, what's close is if she had said something stupid and he said, that don't make no sense. But sometimes it's the other stuff. It's the fact that it's a repetitive thing, which is how Chip does it. That don't make no sense. Like, that becomes the whole point of him saying that. It's the nonsense of him saying that.
Right.
That becomes the bit.
And yeah, it's the way he's saying it.
Slightly with the cadence. Mm-hmm. And when Chip says it, it doesn't make sense. It's not like somebody says something and Chip is like, that makes no sense. It's this idiotic exclamation point that usually could be done without.
Yep.
That don't make no sense. It's just an idiot saying that's the whole fucking bit.
Yeah. Is this idiot trying for a catchphrase? SNL hasn't had a catchphrase in a while.
No, I think they're just doing the bit.
They need a catchphrase, though.
Wow, that's true. They always have their dumb catchphrase.
They love their catchphrases.
What do you think, Sam?
Yeah. I mean, if he just threw it in at one point in the sketch...
Well, no, the whole sketch was this.
I think...
The whole sketch was getting this catchphrase going.
I think there's a good chance that... Even if they don't listen to the show, somebody probably sent them one of the YouTube videos or something.
Maybe.
Because all these Chipisms are also in all the Comic-Con videos.
Right, that's what I thought of, too. The Comic-Con videos just as much because you can see it there. It's out of place. That don't make no sense. Just this fucking idiocy. But it gets to be irritating because the show, like, they don't acknowledge this radio show. They don't.
No.
It's just, I hate the fucking thievery. Hate it.
Thievery.
Yeah.
Yes.
And I'm sure Lorne doesn't know it, but it doesn't work. Like, Lorne Michael is not going, oh, I don't care, do what you want. Like, you know, he's not down for that either, I'm sure.
No, it's probably a writer that is aware of you and then brings some of this shit to his writing sessions.
Yeah, that irritates. I mean, this guy is... Ugh.
Oh, he stinks. I've never found him funny. What's his fucking name?
Kenan Thompson.
Oh, he's been horrible. He's been there forever. He's been the token black guy for like 10 years now.
And he was the same guy that was at the center of the last skit, by the way. I don't know if he writes.
He was on the last one. Right.
Kenan. This guy is so not funny. He stinks. Well, name one thing he's done that's been funny.
Oh,
Kenan and Kel.
All that.
Kenan and Kel.
Maybe he is a fan, or maybe he enjoyed the. Maybe not. But I mean, the bottom line is, I don't care what the motive is.
He'll have a new character next week, Jerry Shepard.
Yeah.
Oh no.
And he's been part of both.
Pardini.
He's been part of both skits. Does he go down to the cellar ever? This guy.
I never see him. I don't do Chip at the cellar anyway. That would be.
I'm just thinking. Does he run in the same circles as you guys?
I don't know.
Oh, he's horrendous.
Yeah, and then if you find the YouTube videos from you at Comic-Con and you start searching Chip stuff, there's tons of YouTube clips from the show.
Mm. Right.
Of you doing, you know, that don't make no sense, that don't make no sense.
And, and it's a stupid, out-of-place catchphrase. It's a weird...
Yeah. It sounds like... It's almost like... Because it doesn't even work for the skit.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying. That does not work.
It's like they wanted the catchphrase. Like, they found this catchphrase that they wanted to use so bad.
Well, where do they find the catchphrase
exactly
from? Because it's done like Jimmy does. I would understand if someone goes, that doesn't make no sense.
Like, that phrase...
If he did it differently, but the cadence is too close.
Or if it was like, that makes no sense.
Right.
Or if it was something that... I mean, I don't think I have a fucking monopoly on that phrase.
Of course not. But it's the way it's being done that's a little too similar.
Well, you could tell it was like they had the phrase before the skit because they just kind of shoot like it's not.
Someone came to them and said, "I got a catchphrase."
Or the writer was like,
"And now let's write something and try to get this catchphrase going."
Or it got thrown in when the bit wasn't working, or to punctuate the bit because the bit's awful.
Oh, it's horrendous.
Yeah,
it's a fucking horrid bit.
Yeah, but if you just wanted to punctuate the fact that this teacher is not making any sense, you would just say that this doesn't make any sense.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Can we hear the way one of them again, the way he's like, that makes no sense. It doesn't sound like it changes the way he says it.
Yeah, let me say hi to Richie. Richie, North Carolina. What's up, Richie?
What's going on?
Hi.
In the skit, the character's name is Charles, and Chip is short for Charles.
No, it's not.
It's not?
No, sir. Lyle Chip Chipperson.
Ah, yes.
Is his real name. It's Lyle Chipperson. And Chip was just thrown in there because it's a play on Chipperson. And his mother would always say, she would always say, I was the chip off the old block. And she pat me on the head, send me out there to get some grape soda for one of her friends. Maybe you could use that next week. And you know the funny thing is? I, as Chip Chipperson, probably could be writing for SNL.
Yes.
With the quality of those bits.
Those great jokes of yours,
No, Chip. just have her go Zumba. Fucking home run. Double you know what.
I'm waiting for that one. Fucking home run.
Remember, SNL is brilliant. Let's be careful here, guys. Let's be careful. It's a sacred cow. Yuck.
Here we go.
I would be embarrassed.
That's fucking hilarious. That don't make no sense.
Oh, Chip.
Wait till you hear the way the rest of this
That's
skit goes,
That's fucking
Chip.
Good.
You like that? Yeah.
Moving on. Ready? Wait. I'm confused.
Yeah, sorry. You just said donka donka.
Yes, that's correct. And from the donka donka, we have a cock. We have a zow, 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 zow. You got that? All right. Come on.
This don't make no sense.
Fucking A, he's absolutely right. It don't. That's fucking hilarious.
You like that?
Yeah, this guy's the best.
The best.
Fucking guy cracks me up. My mother, he looks like a couple of guys that used to help her lay the floor.
Oh, right, yeah.
This is Farsi, honey. We don't do 1-2-3s. We do kadonks. Kadunks, zazaz! All right?
So, a kaduk is a three? That don't make no sense.
He's right! Fucking home run!
That make no...
Home run, you fucking, you know what?
Oh, fuck.
Fucking Keenan, you stink.
I don't know where that came from, but it's beginning to annoy me.
Well, he just stinks. There's things going on here. He just stinks.
It could have even been something Keenan was aware of. And he was like, oh, let me throw this into the skit. And everybody's like, oh, this master of improv, Keenan Thompson.
Well, that's amazing. What I'm saying is maybe because the bit wasn't working or wasn't getting what it should have gotten, that got thrown in there. Or
you've heard the Tommy Toon stories, I'm sure, right? We were a hot item. And for that one crazy night, he loved me with every bit of his body except for his dong. Do you understand that? I would say it was hard on me, but really, it just lay there like a steamed carrot.
I get it.
Why'd you tell that story? It's a bad reflection on you. That don't make no sense.
Okay, moving on.
See, right there, that's where it annoys me, because it's starting something just to shoehorn.
Yeah.
That's what fucking Chip does.
Catchphrase.
Ugh. You don't want.
No, I heard enough. Right. I mean, no.
That's quite enough.
That's way too close,
ooh,
man.
Catchphrase.
That's quite enough.
Ooh, catchphrase.
Yeah,
that's quite enough.
Get the T-shirts made.
My mother would always say that when I'd run around with jelly on my fingers, going, "Look, the jelly monster's here." She'd go, "That's quite enough, Chipper," and she'd hit me in the teeth. Maybe you guys could use that one next week, you cocksuckers. You fucking live fucking show bombing cocksuckers. How about you use that one on your sketch? Saturday Night Sleep Fest. Double bombs.
Fucking shit.
someone
should let them know. Something's going on over there.
Holy
something's going on over there.
For this to happen, that was last week, the other Chip thing, right?
Yeah, yeah.
It can't be. That's way too big of a coincidence. Like, this one is literally the catchphrase shoehorned into a skit.
Yeah.
Last week was the guy who tells bad jokes around and
which, again,
doesn't realize it.
Can happen, but the bad jokes... The flow stop was what bothered me. It was the way it was done as a flow stopper, and that was the whole bit.
That he put the brakes on all their good time. They're all telling jokes and laughing at it, and then that one character would tell an awful joke that didn't make no sense, and stops them from having fun. That's exactly what Chip does.
I would love to find out if they have this two sketches of the same writer.
Oh, yes.
How do we find that out?
Look into that. Investigative journalism.
They probably wouldn't tell you. I mean, I know a couple guys that work for SNL. I could probably find out. I would love to find out if both of those sketches have the same writer.
Look, man, something's going on. Absolutely. This happens from time to time with this radio show. Yeah. But then you get the assholes that call us out and say, oh, you guys are perfect, blah, 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 blah. It's not close at all.
But
blah,
I'm not
blah,
like that blah, with blah, my blah, stuff. Blah,
blah. No.
I don't look for my stuff and everybody else's. Like,
no.
I don't accuse people of stealing my shit. Like, I very rarely think that, but when it's twice, I want it to not be true. Like, I look at it, like, I'm hoping this is totally different.
Yeah, you just kind of fucking explain it away.
It's just going to annoy me.
Well, the good news, he didn't do it right. He fucked it up, so it's not going to be the big SNL catchphrase
that
they're hoping for. So
and that's special.
This will go away quickly, because this Keenan guy stinks.
But then if I do it...
They say that all morning. I fucking don't like that guy. I don't think he's like funny at all. Guy.
Yeah, I don't want my fucking... Do you understand how fucking ballistic I would go? If whatever person is listening to this show and taking that, I am never going to fucking leave you alone if you fucking steal my shit. Never. Really. Stop. I will blast you publicly for the rest of my fucking career.
Nice.
Whatever mediocre career I have and small amount of followers, I will attack you verbally for the rest of my fucking career.
Nice.
Good. Good.
You're fucking thieves. It really annoys me.
Yeah.
Right. They don't give us a fucking... There's nothing.
Nothing.
Nothing. They don't acknowledge the show. They have no affection for the show or no fucking, there's no positive feelings for the show. It's just don't fucking, because you think not enough people will notice?
Yeah.
You fucking cock. That's what he thinks, whoever did it, not enough people will notice. Like, oh, I can just pick it from here and there.
Yeah, a couple of people will know, but I won't fucking make a stink. No one will make a stink about it.
Steal something from a fucking big movie. Oh, that's right, you can't, because you know people will know you stole it.
Yeah.
That annoys me.
Yeah, it should, too, man. It should.
Mm.
Remember the Cleveland bus driver? He got suspended.
Oh, yeah. Wow. I haven't seen the video yet. No one sent it to me.
No. I was walking home Friday. Yeah. A bunch of black kids were, I don't know what, they should have been in school, I
would
imagine.
Robbing somebody.
It was a bunch of black students.
Sucker punching someone in the head.
Nope.
Videotaping something with their cameras the wrong way.
Nope.
Shooting someone with their gun the wrong way.
Nope.
Jeez.
Helping someone.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, my goodness.
Loudly imitating this video, all
really?
Of them. And then there was a cop on the corner. He was howling because he knew. Howling.
Damn it!
Oh, shit.
Damn it! But that's what the cop was doing. That's not your
fault. Damn it!
No, you're just describing the cop.
But it was true. It was a full moon and he had been bitten by a werewolf.
Yeah. And it was awesome.
That's. Fuck!
They're all going to be on SNL.
Awesome.
Guys.